From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week, we are concluding our series of messages on Psalm 138. We're going to be considering the psalmist's prayer again today. O Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands. A cry from the heart, and I think one that will echo in many a believer's soul. So stay with us. Do remember our special offer of Dr. Ed Panosian's message on Islam. You can get your free cassette or CD copy by writing or calling. Remember the mailing address, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number, 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. We'd like to remind you that at letthebiblespeakradio.com or simply ltbsradio.com, you can pick up various things of interest from our internet bookstore. You can read there the text files of our daily commentaries, or you can listen again to any of the radio programs. So I trust you'll go there, ltbsradio.com. And I trust that if you're free this Lord's Day and each Lord's Day, you'll join us by means of the internet to worship with us in our Lord's Day services here in Faith Free Presbyterian Church, Greenville, South Carolina, by going to faith.sermonaudio.com at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch and listen to the Lord's Day services here. We look forward to having you with us this Lord's Day.
Unresting, unhasting, and silent.
The day after Christmas, Reuters reported that Britain's new ambassador to the Vatican, an Irish Roman Catholic who had worked closely with Prime Minister Tony Blair, presented his credentials to the Pope. And the Pope obliged by making some nice noises about being committed to Christian unity, stressing the importance of dialogue among Christian denominations. The Pope said, "I encourage all those involved in this work never to rest content with partial solutions, but to keep firmly in view the goal of full visible unity among Christians, which accords with the Lord's will for his church." Now, this is an interesting statement. Divested of its Vatican code language, it simply reiterates Rome's long-standing view that church unity means the return of all the wandering denominations back to the fold of the papal church. Nothing else will do. That's what the Pope means by accepting nothing less than full visible unity. Partial solutions, such as some of those that naive Protestant and evangelical ecumenists frequently float, are not on the Pope's agenda. Never forget that when the Pope or any other Vatican spokesman speaks of the Church, he means the Roman Catholic Church. Church unity is unity with Rome, without Rome abandoning any of the anti-Christian dogma and practice that she has espoused. Rome boasts that she is semper eadem, always the same. Whatever changes she appears to make, such as the abandonment of forbidding meats on Fridays, her admission that many of the saints to whom she directed her faithful for centuries, St. Christopher's a prime example, never existed, and her move to do away with the figment of limbus patrum, the half-hell to which unbaptized babies were consigned by her dogma. Such changes, I say, are purely cosmetic. Rome actually employs them to give the impression of change, while all the time she holds on to her fundamental heresies with more resolution than ever. Romanism is not Christianity, and therefore, by definition, Christian unity precludes any involvement by the Vatican. Rome is still a denier of the gospel, of free justification by faith alone. She still teaches that the merit of a man's own works is essential to his entrance into heaven. She is still guilty of making a veritable blasphemy, namely the Mass, the centerpiece of her worship. She still adheres to a system of priestcraft and sacraments that work opus operatum, that is, by the virtue that resides in them through the priest's actions. And she still justifies all her peculiar heresies by elevating her so-called tradition to the status of being an equal authority with Scripture in establishing both doctrine and practice. Some Protestants used to say, "No peace with Rome till Rome makes peace with God." That's a good slogan, but it's more. It's the recognition that behind the sweet words of the Pope and his henchmen lies a deadly hatred of the truth as the Bible believer knows it. And it is a truly evangelical stance. For only as we honestly recognize that Rome is anti-Christian will we be energized to take the gospel of the pure grace of God to Roman Catholics in every nation and show them the way of life. In other words, as Bible-believing Protestants, we are the polar opposite to the Pope. He speaks honeyed words to conceal his true aim of conquering Protestantism. We use the language of war with Rome, but of nothing but the most peaceful intentions toward Roman Catholics, including the intention of showing them, and indeed all perishing souls, the love that should fill every Christian heart.
Jesus calls us.
This week we're in our final study of the series of messages in Psalm 138. We have reached the final verse, the last part of the verse, where David prays, O Lord, forsake not the works of thy hands. I've called this David's cry from the heart, and I've tried to show some of the implications of this in the life of a Christian. We started off by looking at what it says about the foundations of true prayer, because in its connection, it shows you really how to pray, the basis on which you approach God. That's of fundamental importance to a Christian. Then we proceeded to think of some of the implications of this prayer, where David was effectively saying, Lord, forsake not the works of your own hands. I am the work of your hands, so do not forsake me. And that was a cry of a man as he was reaching old age, feeling vulnerable and weak, a cry of a man who was facing death and having to go out into eternity. These are some of the implications. Now we're going to pursue this a little further today. We're going to see particularly what this meant concerning the day of David's death. Even though he was a believer, David realized that he could not go out to meet the last great enemy simply in the strength of his own willpower. So as he approached it, he lifted his heart to the Lord, and he made this prayer, Lord, I am the work of your hands, and as I come now into the valley of the shadow, this is the prayer of my heart. Let's listen, let's consider, make it the prayer of our hearts. O Lord, forsake me not utterly.
We need the presence of God when we're prospering. You know, you're never in greater danger than when you're prospering. You need the presence of God then. Equally, we must be careful not to turn from Him when we suffer pain or loss. Rather, we need to be praying, Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands. We can say to the Lord, using the words of His own truth, Thou hast said, as in Isaiah 41, Fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And the promise is, I will strengthen thee, yea, I'll help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy my righteousness. Or as it says in verse 13, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Lord, thou hast said this, now forsake not the works of thine own hands. I'm your workmanship. David prayed this especially as he thought of growing old. Especially as I grow frail and old. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let me not lose the sense of God's presence. I must confess that there's one thing, not the only thing, mind you, but there's one thing that greatly concerns me as I get older. And that is the tendency of old people to do certain things that are very, very, very harmful to them, to the cause of Christ. First, they live in the past. Second, they talk very dogmatically. Now, I would never do that, of course. About experience, and it's not necessarily dogmatically sticking to the book, it's dogmatically demanding that things go the way they're used to having things go, done the way they're used to having things done, and your experience must conform to what they did experience. But the worst part of it is, and I've seen this again and again and again, I've seen it in the pew, I've seen it among preachers, for all that they have experienced, for all that they can say so clearly in words, many a professing Christian, many a true Christian, as he comes into the latter years of life, seems to lose any real vital experience of God, an up-to-date experience of God. And that's tragic. This is what David prayed. Feeling increasingly vulnerable with the passage of time, he prayed in the 71st Psalm, verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." In verse 18 he cries, "Now also when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not." And then he says this, "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." And what a picture he's painting. He's painting here his prayer, his hope for his own life, that the Lord will so clearly sustain him and not forsake him, that he will be able to show the strength and the power of God to the current generation and establish a testimony for the generations to come. "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." David was very much aware that he was soon to face death. When he said, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands," he's praying, in reality, "When I face the King of Terrors, stand thou with me. Be with me now and in the day of my death." That's not just a papist prayer. That's a prayer that every one of us would do well to utter. The promise is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's the promise. And I want to tell you, and I pray this constantly, I've prayed it for years, and I would commend it to you. While you're still young and strong and healthy, give yourself to the Lord now and pray for Him, "Lord, be with me now." But never forget to cry to God, "Lord, as I get older, keep me faithful and keep me in the enjoyment of Your grace and Your presence and Your power. And when I come to face death in whatever form the providence of God would bring it to me, Lord, stand with me. Forsake me not in that awful hour. Forsake me not. Turn the darkness to light. Instead of it being the midnight darkness of the end of this world, let it be the beaming of the dawn of eternal glory. Let me have Your presence." The old hymn says, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone." And that's true. Oh, that we may live and die in the consciousness of the presence of the Lord. And then let's look forward to that day. We're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before God. When David is looking forward to the judgment, he's still crying, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." And on that day, I look forward not to standing in my righteousness or even on my service. That would be a scary thought indeed. But to stand with Christ. Let Him present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Let Him present me clothed in the garments of salvation and the robe of His perfect righteousness. Let Him stand up for me and say, "He's mine." We are going to stand before God, you know. I wonder, can Christ stand up for you? If you died today, would He stand up for you? Would He say, "He's mine"? Nothing else matters. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, whatever my service, unless Christ is my righteousness, I'll perish in the everlasting burnings of a never-ending hell. I remember when Pastor Conley of Heritage was in his last illness, times I go round to visit him in the hospital. Those of you who know Jim Connolly will know that he was a very multi-talented man. After his teaching career, his musical abilities, skill with his hands, God called him to the church, and he built one of the strongest churches in this whole area. The Lord did it. And I remember as I went to see him, and he was within a short time of death, I took his hand and I said to him, "The Lord has used you to do a great work, brother. You've seen many people saved. You've seen a great church built. The Lord has blessed your ministry. But aren't you glad when you're going out to meet God now that you're not going out to meet Him on the strength of that ministry? Aren't you glad that you're not depending on the good work that God has done through you, but that you're depending on the work of Christ for you, and that Christ is your righteousness?" He gripped my hand with a grip that was as tight as a dying man could make it. Tears came in his eyes. And he witnessed, "I'm glad. That's what I'm depending on." Men and women, let me tell you, that was David's cry. "I am the work of your hands. I am the production of your grace. When I stand before the Lord, let Christ stand with me and for me."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.